Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Not surprisingly, California started it all. They passed a law to ban sexual orientation change efforts. They banned efforts to help those under 18 with unwanted same-sex attraction. New Jersey followed suit and passed a similar law, which Governor Chris Christie signed, citing selective portions of an APA study. Earlier this year, Senator Anthony Williams of Philadelphia introduced SB 872. He introduced that in Harrisburg, and it's the same type California and New Jersey has. And open homosexual state rep Brian Sims is working on a similar bill to be introduced in the state house here very soon. Now, to help us understand the negative impact of such a law, my guest today is Daniel Schmidt of Orlando, Florida-based Liberty Council. Thanks, Daniel, for being with us.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be with you. As you rightly pointed out, there are this began in California and continued in New Jersey. There are the bill has been introduced in Pennsylvania now, and they're considering it in other states as well. And the thing your listeners should be concerned about is that this is an unprecedented intrusion into not only the rights of counselors and their rights to provide therapy that is effective for children and that benefits them, as the studies have demonstrated, but also a gross intrusion into the rights of parents to direct the upbringing of their child and of the rights of minors to receive counseling consistent with their sincerely held religious beliefs. And without even a nod to the First Amendment, all of the politicians who have supported this and the governors who have signed them have just run roughshod over all of the rights of all of these people, and it's quite a sad thing.
Yeah, because they're definitely sending the message that they know best, and they know better than parents, or they know better than counselors what's best for their clients who are under 18. Now, why do you think these legislatures are introducing these bills? What do you think is behind these bills?
Well, I think we know what's behind them, and it's an ideological opposition to any religious belief that says that homosexuality is not a normal variant of human sexuality. That this is, and people have said it for a long time, and rightly so, that this is a zero-sum game for many of these people. And this is not about tolerance or respecting differences or anything like that. It's about imposing one way of thinking on these children. And that's evident by what these bills suggest. It prohibits only one viewpoint in the counselor's office. That is, that homosexuality can change, that if you want to change it, it should change, and that we can help you change it. And they are ideologically opposed to this. Make no mistake about this. It has nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with ideology.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when we're thinking of these bills, yeah, you're right on, because I'm looking at SB 872 right now, and Senator Williams went into detail, at least he selectively chose portions of also the APA Task Force on Appropriate Therapeutic Responses to Sexual Orientation, and of course he picks out the parts that goes along with what his thinking is, although that report actually did not come right out and say that sexual orientation change efforts were not successful. They didn't say that. But all the legislators who are supporting this kind of thing are saying that that's what the APA report says. And it's, as we saw with Governor Christie, when he signed this into law, he picked, well, I don't know if he individually did, but anyway, picked apart certain aspects of that report to support his stand on this. Now, here in PA, the SB 872 is being called the Protection of Minors from Sexual Orientation Change Counseling Act. Does this protect minors?
No, actually, it does not, and it does exactly the opposite. And it's good that you brought up the APA report. Yes, they did selectively pull quotes from various portions of it. But let me just give you a few of the quotes that the APA's own task force stated, and this is the evidence that all of these bills are based on. In 2009, the APA did what they called a comprehensive study of all of the studies that have looked at what they term sexual orientation change efforts. And for one, it should be noted that this study was geared towards adults, whether it was harmful to adults. And in several points, it notes clearly that, one, there was evidence of both harm and benefits, but the reports of harm were anecdotal, and these would be from somebody who is self-reporting on their harm. And
plus, a lot of those, I didn't mean to interrupt, but a lot of those reports of harm were from the past. They weren't necessarily ones where they were, you know, under current counseling styles.
Correct, and it was not only that, but it was also many of the studies that purport to call this counseling harm specifically advertised in homosexual magazines and some of these other things, actively seeking people who, once again, are ideologically opposed to this. And since you asked whether this is harmful to children or whether this protects children, the APA report specifically noted that sexual orientation issues in children are virtually unexamined. They have no studies, none, not one, that is scientifically valid and methodologically valid that comes and says and supports their notion that all of this is harmful. And just think about the nature of this counseling. It is two people sitting down discussing root causes, what might have led to this, the minor's feelings about it, various other things, like every other modern form of mental health counseling. Yet they come in and ideologically say, well, we don't want you to mention anything that's negative about homosexuality. So don't you dare try to counsel someone, even when that is what they fundamentally desire.
Exactly, because that's why they're there, because they have unwanted same-sex attraction. So how can that be addressed by a counselor if it's not talked about? That makes no sense.
So correct, and it's important to note, too, that since you just said that, it's important to note that these are unwanted same-sex attractions that the minor has. Studies have shown that this arises often from sexual abuse that a child has gone through, trauma that a child has gone through, and he begins to develop and struggle with and doesn't like his unwanted same-sex attraction. So he seeks counseling for it. He goes to his parents, or his parents sit down and discuss it, and then they seek out these counselors who provide this counseling. And these bills violate the very fundamental principle that mental health counseling is based on, and that is that the client has the right to self-determination. It is the client who picks his objectives and the client who picks the nature of the therapy. And in every other form of counseling, except for this one's been singled out. The legislatures come in and say, well, no, your goals are not valid. We're going to violate your principle of self-determination, and you can't have that goal. It's a bad goal. And that just proves how unprecedented and how intrusive these laws are.
So they're actually redefining what counseling is when it comes to this particular issue.
Correct. And many of these children seek this type of counseling because of sincerely held religious beliefs, as I said. And their parents have raised them in this type of, you know, whether Christian environment or Catholic or, you know, the various different religious beliefs that say, I don't want these same-sex attractions. I'm struggling with them. I want to get rid of them. Many of the scientific experts that the people base this thing on come back and say, well, really what the counselor should be doing is not trying to change the sexual orientation of the child. Let's not go there. Really what a counselor ought to be doing, and this is what one of the witnesses in some of our cases that we're litigating in California and New Jersey, the witnesses, they come back and say, well, really what we ought to be changing is the religious beliefs. Don't deal with the sexual attractions, and we need to elevate that above everything else. And the counselor's goal should be to change the religious beliefs so that they comport with and elevate the same-sex attractions above those religious beliefs.
So they're saying that the counselor should be changing the religious beliefs of the child?
That's fine, correct. That's what they say. They say the focus of counseling when someone comes in with same-sex attraction that they don't want, they say, really? Well, you have to change the objective. It's not that we're going to change the sexual attractions or even discuss them or try to get to the root causes of them. It's, well, we really need to counsel you on how those religious beliefs are wrong. And as I just mentioned, they go, that is inconsistent with the very fundamental principle of mental health counseling since time immemorial.
Well, and something about the First Amendment, too.
Well, yes, and there's two aspects to that. One, I'm glad you brought that up. This is the First Amendment in all contexts prohibits what we call viewpoint discrimination,
mm-hmm.
which is you can't, if you allow people to discuss a topic, a broader topic, then you cannot prohibit just one viewpoint on that topic. And if we go to the language of the Pennsylvania law, it says, okay, the discussion in the counselor's office is certainly permissible when it comes to sexual orientation as a whole. Any efforts to try to change a person's behaviors, gender identity, expressions, behaviors, and attractions only towards persons of the same sex. If they come in and want to, you know, explore their homosexual attractions or they're struggling with anything else, then you cannot say that we want to change them away from those. You have to push them towards same-sex attractions and say, oh, no, that's good. You should start exploring that, developing it, you know, facilitating whatever we can do. And then not only that, and here's where it really becomes quite strange, as if it wasn't strange already to your listeners, that the bill also permits counseling for a person seeking to transition from one gender to the other. So we're going to allow minors to say, okay, I think I'm a different sex, and we're going to allow doctors to provide hormone therapy or whatever have you about this. And that's okay. That's not harmful to the minor. They can make that decision. But they come in and say, oh, no, if you even want to talk about why you might be struggling with same-sex attractions, absolutely not.
No,
and it's unquestionable that that is a violation of the First Amendment.
So, yeah, we've had a couple of situations here in Pennsylvania, one in Lancaster County last year, well, actually last school year, and another in going on right now in Johnstown area in Cambria County, where there's, in both cases, it's a young lady who believes she is a young man. And they have wanted the school to allow, in the case of Lancaster County, graduate wearing the color of a male student who, you know, graduate. And also to have her chosen name put on her graduation certificate, which the school did not. The school put her legal name on her graduation, on her diploma, but did allow her to wear the, you know, the same color gown as a graduation gown as a guy. And it's all kind of an ongoing thing in Johnstown right now. But so this bill, this Anthony Wiggins bill, SB 872, if it passes, what you're saying is that these young ladies would be encouraged to pursue their feelings at the opposite sex.
Yes, if they were to go into a counselor's office and even mention that they're even thinking about this, not that they really want to, but that they're even contemplating, and that it's perhaps that they're struggling with it or that it's even crossed their mind, as soon as that comes up in the counseling session, the counselor has to immediately close his mouth if he's going to discuss anything about pushing her away from that, or not even, and it's not really even pushing her away from it, it's just engaging in a discussion with her about what might be causing that, and then finding out what her objectives are, and then trying to help her achieve those objectives. That's what the purpose of counseling is to find out what the client's objective is and to begin to facilitate and develop that and discuss it. Any other form of counseling, that's what we do, but when you come to this issue, whether same-sex attractions or seeking to transition to a different gender, only one viewpoint's allowed, and that's going to be the state's imposed orthodoxy, which is that same-sex attractions are normal, they're good, And it doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are. You need to pursue them.
Now, as I'm looking down through SB 872, I'm looking at all these supposed findings of, like, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which we know is a very, very far left-wing group anymore and does not represent the views of the majority of pediatricians in this country. But Senator Williams also has gone through and quoted numerous times the American Psychological Association as far as what this report says. And you're saying this report was actually geared towards adults, not children.
That's what the purpose of the study was.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the quotes that they have about children, as I mentioned before, there's no studies, no research, none, not one, that says absolutely that this is harmful to minors. And in fact, the evidence suggests just the opposite. Both of the clients that we have, clients that we represent in both California and New Jersey, who have successfully gone through this type of change counseling and have become counselors themselves because they believe strongly.
Benefit. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of the significant benefits.
Yeah, I know particularly in New Jersey, they actually brought in a witness in support of this bill who lied. There's no other way to put it, just out and out lied about supposed therapy that she, I think it was a woman, had gone through in Ohio at a church camp or something that doesn't even exist. But, you know, as we see that line that took place in testimony in New Jersey, and we see all this false information that actually is a part of this bill of Senator Anthony Williams here in Pennsylvania, how do we counter the misinformation in this bill? How do we counter that?
Well, that's a good question. And the way we are going about it is to counter it in a court of law.
Okay.
And I think that is the method that we'll do. I'm a lawyer, so that's how that's the natural course for us. But I would encourage your listeners as well to don't sit silent about this, especially in Pennsylvania. This is not a passed law yet.
They need to
contact their senators and contact their assemblymen and get their churches involved. It's not over there yet, and if they can get this
stopped in its tracks in Harrisburg, then you guys won't have to come in here and file a lawsuit.
Correct.
Which I know you have your hands full, but I know I think it was October 4th of last year, you guys, Liberty Counsel, fought a lawsuit in federal courts, trying to stop the California law from taking effect, which was supposed to have taken effect, I think, January 1st of this year. How has that gone there in California? The land of fruits and nuts, I'll throw that in there. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you there. And it certainly has been a fruits and nuts type of litigation. But we initially lost at the trial court, but then we went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and received an emergency injunction.
Okay.
Which held the law in place, and as of right now, that law is not in effect. It was supposed to take effect, as you mentioned, in January of this year. Because of that injunction, it is not in effect.
So the injunction is still in place then?
Yes, it is. We recently received an opinion from a subsequent Ninth Circuit panel that said the law was constitutional. They ignored long-established precedent. They trampled over the First Amendment and trampled over the 14th Amendment rights of parents to direct the upbringing of their children. But we have subsequently filed what is called a petition for a rehearing en banc, which is a rehearing before the entire Ninth Circuit.
Okay.
And just yesterday received good news, actually, that the Ninth Circuit was requiring the other side to respond to our request and show why they shouldn't rehear it. So that's good news for us.
That's for sure, because Ninth Circuit's not trustworthy, I think. Maybe that's a good word to use when it comes to their decisions. We can't trust them to hand down the right decision when it comes to family matters, family issues.
Correct, and it's important to note that they're also the most overturned circuit
that's true too.
The country.
That's true, too. Like I said, the land of fruits and nuts. So we have this situation going on in California, and you said you've also filed a lawsuit in New Jersey?
We have. Quite recently, we filed a lawsuit in New Jersey, and Tuesday of next week, we will be in federal court there in Trenton to argue the case before the District of New Jersey there to see if we can shut that down.
you know, it is mind-boggling. And Matt Barber, who's also a Liberty Counsel, has called these kind of laws Jerry Sandusky laws,
yes.
Which I totally agree with. You know, a young man, and you mentioned this earlier, a young man who's been sexually molested, that may cause him to question his sexuality. And in the states that have passed these laws, like California, which at this time has an injunction against it being implemented, but, you know, if you guys lose through the courts, then a young man in California who is questioning his sexuality is stuck. He has no option. He has nowhere to go to talk this through. You know, if he has these unwanted feelings, he has no one to turn to. And his
Correct.
Parents have nowhere to go.
Yes, that's, and I will mention this, too, that it, if we do not receive a favorable ruling from the Ninth Circuit, then we fully intend to take this to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay.
And so that is our next option. The focus of these bills as of right now, but I don't want your listeners to get the impression that this will be the case forever, because
mm-hmm.
this is
mm-hmm.
just the opening salvo.
Right.
These bills at the moment focus solely on licensed counselors, and so they could seek counseling from their clergy or a religious, you know, counselor of that nature, as long as they're not providing it as part of their license. But
who knows where this is going to lead?
Yes, that's the question. Becomes if they continue to prevail on this, they will go. The next step will be to go after the religious beliefs. It's clear, as I mentioned earlier, they said the focus of counseling should not be on changing sexual orientation or changing same-sex attractions. We ought to change your religious beliefs.
Yeah,
and so
scary.
If we don't prevail and if people don't stand up and fight with us against these laws, then that's where we're headed, and that's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking at, again, at SB 872 here in Pennsylvania, and it has been referred to the Consumer Protection and Professional Licensing Committee. And I think of the consumer protection, where Jonah has been sued in New Jersey because he was sued for consumer fraud. Crazy. And professional licensing, you know, it's going to be, I guess, however you say, or how your license to counsel would be in jeopardy if you were to counsel someone and help them work through their sexual confusion.
Yes,
and counsel them that they're not stuck in, you know, with their homosexual feelings.
Yes, and actually that raises another interesting point about these laws, and another huge problem that they impose is that it puts licensed counselors in a catch-22.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier, the fundamental principle of mental health counseling and every ethical code of every mental health profession says that the counselor shall not impose a viewpoint or orthodoxy on the client when they come in. So under these laws, if a minor were to walk into a mental health counselor's office, say he's struggling with same-sex attractions, now the counselor has no choice. He's going to commit an ethical violation if he begins to impose the state's orthodoxy on him and say, oh, I don't care what your objectives are. We're going this way. This is the counseling we're going to seek. Well, that's an ethical violation. And if he doesn't do that and begins to provide the change therapy counseling, then he violates these laws. So he's in an irresolvable conflict in the very moment one of these minors walks in the door.
Oh, wow. The fight goes on, and the attacks, the tactics change, but the end result is still that homosexual activists want to try to convince America that people are born homosexual. And that they can get to the point where the laws in California and New Jersey are upheld, and this law in Pennsylvania is passed and upheld. And I know you said other states also have introduced similar laws. If they can get it to the point where across the country, counselors can no longer address the issue of sexual orientation change, then they will, in essence, have just proven, quote-unquote, proven that people are born homosexual. Anyway, it flabbergasted me that legislatures are doing this and taking away the rights of self-determination of those who are seeking counseling and taking away the rights of parents. So how can folks contact you, Daniel? How can folks contact Liberty Counsel?
Well, feel free to visit our website. It's www.lc.org. you can certainly find resources there for this type of counseling and to any other type of, you know, our issues, religious freedom issues, or you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-671-1776.
800-671-1776 or lc.org. I appreciate the time and the insight into these outrageous bills.
Yes, ma'am. And let me leave you with an encouraging thought, though, for your viewers, that as discouraging as these are, we should remember that God is sovereign and he's on his throne, and he will intervene when he deems fit.
Appreciate that. We need reminded of that continually in these days, that's for sure.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.